Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I can feel you like an ocean that won't seem to let me go.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to Signs of Life, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation with our host, Bob Ginsberg. I'm Fran Ginsberg, and our show tonight is sponsored by Hugs from Heaven, and they can be found on the web at hugsfromheaven.com. That's Hugs spelled H-U-G-Z from heaven.com. Tonight's guest is Dr. T. Lee Bauman, and if you have a question, comment, or would like to talk to our guest, the toll-free number here is 888-627-6008, or you can instant message the studio at Signs of Life Radio on AIM. And good evening to you, Bob.
And hi, Fran. And as you mentioned, Dr. Bauman, he's been on the show before. Very interesting person. He's a medical doctor, and he will be talking about quantum spirituality. So if you want to know what that means, just tune in a few minutes and
wow.
Have Dr. Bauman with us. You pointed out something to me, I think it was yesterday, that didn't really hit me about, you know, we're always talking about synchronicities and things, and we have two recent, you know, tragedies that people have suffered. And I didn't realize it until you mentioned it, that we had Hurricane Sandy and the tragedy in Connecticut, in Newtown, was at the Sandy Hook
Elementary
School, and there have been a few others, and maybe you're open to the possibility that these things are not coincidental?
Well, it was funny, because when I first mentioned that to you, and I said, is that a coincidence? And you said, of course it's a coincidence, and I, you know, Mother Nature, I'm convinced, is not happy with us, and that would explain Hurricane Sandy. But clearly, the way the world is going, the universe as a whole has to be not happy with us and the way we behave as human beings as a whole. And yes, these are tragedies, and I'm sure many, many people died in Hurricane Sandy, and children and adults passed in the Sandy Hook Elementary tragedy. And then there was that fire on Christmas Eve in upstate New York in Rochester, where the guy deliberately set a fire and then decided to take his gun against any fireman that came to put it out in an ambush. And just all these things, the Aurora, I mean, look back at this year, and I don't think it's saying, wake up, let's talk about gun violence, as much as it's saying, wake up and let's start putting positive stuff back out into the universe. Let's go back to a world of love and compassion. And if we start all doing that, we will see a change.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, on the one hand, I see what you're saying. On the other hand, I know it's human nature when you suffer a tragedy, when you suffer the loss of a loved one, that there's this intense need to make sense of what happened. And that's why even in the Sandy Hook tragedy, I mean, everybody is compelled to investigate and to find out, you know, what was going through the killer's mind, what were the reasons, you know, going up to it, you know, as if, you know, coming to some sort of a firm answer will help, you know, and of course we know it won't.
But well, not only do I just want to go there just for a second. Not only do we know that it won't, but we've done this thousands of times before with all of these kinds of criminals that just go in and just start killing them. I remember being very, very young when Sharon Tate was murdered, and that was a mass murder, too, and that was all over the news and everything. We haven't learned anything from investigating the minds of the people who do this.
Yeah, and I never really was open to the idea. I used to scoff when people used to say, well, children and people are influenced by TV, and TV, if you watch violence, it's going to breed violence. But as I reassess and I see more and more and more of this stuff happening, I can't help but believe that the violence that inundates our children in these video games and in lyrics and certain music and so forth, you could take somebody that may have some emotional issues and push them over the edge. So I'm kind of leaning the other way on
that. Okay, and that's a practical way that our human minds are processing this. But I'm suggesting that all of the video games and all of the TV shows that have all of this violence in it are merely negative ways of conducting yourself. And if we remove the negativity and we put positive stuff back out there, like Father Knows Best, and things like that, and have a more positive world, then we will have more positive things happening.
I can't disagree with that. I've been following the reaction known in newspapers like everybody else, and how people try to comfort the families, you know, of the victims. And, you know, you have a lot of politicians and celebrities and clergy and just friends that come up to them and say things such as, well, you know, everything happens for a reason, or, you know, God wants an angel, needed another angel, and don't question, you know, the God in the universe. And
I know, that was one of those signs hanging out in Newtown on Christmas Eve, was trust God, like, don't question.
Yeah, and then I saw that, as you probably did, I read the compelling story about there was one brave little girl that survived. She was in the classroom and survived. And she survived by playing dead. And when this became public, immediately I saw the clergy declare, well, this is obviously the work of God. God intervened, you know, and gave this information to that child. And I'm not saying that's right or wrong, but I couldn't help but think of how does that make the parents of the other 20 children feel?
Well, not only that, I mean, just ask the question. So then why did he only pick this child to give the information to and not the other 20 kids?
Right, and the parents are saying, well, then my child was not worthy of an intervention. It's torturous, you know, to think that way, and yet I see this, you know, time and time again. You can't have it both ways. You know, either God intervened and this was a miracle by saving this child, or then the other answer that I see a lot by clergy is they immediately distance God from the events. Well, you know, man did this. God didn't do it.
Well, with the negative stuff, right.
You know, so, you know, God didn't want your child to die. So you
can't have it both ways.
You can't have both ways. And it makes no sense to me. It may make sense to other people. I just have a hard time.
It makes sense to the people who are not affected by this, who are very much into their religious comfort zone. And for them, all of that rhetoric makes sense. But when you've suffered that loss, that rhetoric doesn't fall into that perspective anymore. Now you're looking at it from a whole different point of view, and it doesn't make sense.
It can add to your grief and
right.
Your anger.
But if we take it from the perspective of there is an afterlife, and the afterlife is a much better place than there is here, and there is a big universal plan, then it becomes a little more palatable, you know. But we haven't learned that as a culture. We haven't learned that we're here for a very short time. We're here to take on challenges, and we're here to learn by those challenges. And then when we cross over and we're back in our wonderful heavenly spot, that everything does fall into place and makes sense.
Well, that may be the subject of another show, because we can certainly go on and on about that. And there are many things to discuss in that vein, such as reincarnation, some of the things you mentioned. But we're going to go to our break, and when we come back, we're going to be learning a whole bunch about quantum spirituality from our guest, Dr. Lee Bauman. So stay with us.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
It is with great pleasure that we announce the formation of the Winbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential. Dr. Julie Beischel, Director of Research at Winbridge and one of the premier investigators in the field of mediumship research, reports that the team at Winbridge will continue pursuing the many unanswered questions that remain in the field of afterlife science. Please go to www.windbridge.org to learn more about this groundbreaking research institute. That's www.winbridge.org.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide support for families who have suffered the loss of a loved one. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707 or on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
The American Association of Electronic Voice Phenomena has always been international and concerned with more than just EVP. To better serve the public, the AAEVP is now Association Transcommunication, or ATRANSC. Their new website is ATRANSC.org, and their motto is Objective Evidence of Survival. The directors believe people should know that death is not dying, and what we learn now applies to what we will learn hereafter.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
For those just tuning in, our guest tonight is Dr. Lee Bauman. Our sponsor is Hugs from Heaven, and they can be found on the web at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs spelled H-U-G-Z from heaven.com. Bob?
And in addition to his years in private practice as a medical doctor, Dr. Lee Bauman has been a medical administrator and a biology instructor. He holds medical certifications in internal medicine, geriatrics, and medical management. He now writes and lectures about quantum spirituality. His latest book is called Medusa of Time, How Technology Redefines Copenhagen. And he's also the author of God at the Speed of Light, The Melding of Science and Spirituality, Window to God, a Physician's Spiritual Pilgrimage, and The Akashic Light, religion's common thread. Dr. Bauman has also appeared in the documentaries The Evidence of for Heaven and The Search for Heaven. Welcome, Dr. Bauman.
Well, Bob and Fran, thank you for having me.
Well, we appreciate it, and I'm glad you joined us again. You know, your talks about science and spirituality have taken you all over the world. We know that. And I was interested in the new book. You started off by talking about an experience that you had earlier this year in South Africa, of all places, and it involved the simple act of saying hello. Can you tell us a little bit about this and what you learned from this experience?
Oh, I would, because it to this day it still fascinates me. The South African people are so humble, but yet proud. You know, they went through apartheid, and Nelson Mandela helped bring them out of that, and he certainly suffered for many years in prison during that time. But I went to South Africa for several weeks to volunteer, and while I was there, one of the orientation courses I took, the instructor said, now, whenever you walk into town, make sure you say hello to everyone you pass on the street. And most of us were silent for a period of time, and finally I'm never shy to embarrass myself, so I went ahead and asked him. I said, now, wait a minute, you say everyone you should say hi to on the street? And he said, yes. And I said, well, you know, you just don't do that in America. And he laughed, and he said, well, you know, give it a try. So I did. The next time I was walking through the streets of downtown Cape Town, I began saying hello, or molo in South African, to everyone I met. And everyone, I mean, there were only a few exceptions, and I laughed because they were tourists.
Right.
Everyone smiled and said hello, and it just blew me off my feet. I thought it was wonderful, and it was a great statement about humanity. Despite the struggles and the suffering that we might go through, there, you know, is that part of the human soul that tells us that we can forgive and we can accept, you know, our historicity, and then just look toward the future with a positive attitude. And that was what just so impressed me about the South African people.
Wow. Did you try it out when you got home?
Well, you know, as I said, on the streets of South Africa, when you said hello to one of the tourists, it kind of looked at you like you had two heads. So
right.
I pretty much knew what I would be in for trying it at home.
I know. Well, you never know. You might start a whole new movement. You know, that would be the slogan, just say hello. We have people saying hello to each other. That would be interesting.
I know, a pay it forward type of
right,
experience.
I know that you're deeply interested in educating children. And is it from your experience, as a matter of fact, I should mention that you donate, I'm sure you still do, the proceeds of all your books to scholarships for educational purposes.
I do indeed, yes.
And are children today any smarter than they were in prior generations?
Well, you know, that's a tough call because in the time that you, Fran, and I were being educated, we memorized everything, and today's kids, if they have a question, they just look it up on the internet.
Yeah.
Now, that doesn't mean they're dumber than we are. In fact, in many respects, they're probably smarter than we are because they get the right answers all the time, or at least close to the right answers. In many respects, we could never, you know, tell with a lot of the adults and even our teachers and ministers whether what they told us was really accurate or not. So I don't know. It's just a different landscape, but I think it's very exciting. So I think we should embrace it.
Now, when we talk about when I look at the book title, Medusa of Time and How Technology Redefines Copenhagen, it's not something that you ordinarily see on the bestseller list. I mean, you would think it's very technical. So when we get into this, I mean, when we talk about Copenhagen, we're talking about quantum physics and with the dual wave particle nature of an object. So I know it's generally thought, if people have a little bit of an understanding of quantum physics, that it's the act of observation that collapses a particle, a wave into a particle. And by the act of observation, I guess, is another way of another term for consciousness. So you suggest that this may not be correct. There could be other factors involved in this collapsing. And can you just talk a little bit about that?
Oh, that's a great observation. I mean, I get the title Medusa of Time because we're talking, or I'm relating back to the Medusa back in Greek mythology, where if you looked at the head of the woman with, instead of hair, she had snakes on her head, you would be turned to stone. And in many respects, that's what is happening with our day-to-day reality. And I need to back up, because this is a very complex topic. You're absolutely right. This, unlike many of my previous books where I dealt into the spiritual realm, I deal almost very minimally with spirituality in this text. This text is purely quantum physics, and it, as much as I tried to break it down into non-scientific terms, it's still, by necessity, ends up being somewhat technical. But you are absolutely right. Einstein and some of the best minds in physics have basically had to narrow the act of observation as the main catalyst, which causes something known in the physics world as the collapse of the wave function. And this is a term taken from what is known as the Copenhagen interpretation of quantum physics, which tries to explain the wave-particle dual nature of matter. So, you know, just trying to identify what the book's about sounds pretty technical.
And
it can get confused, and from that standpoint, we have people like Einstein and even a mathematician by the name of John von Neumann who identified that the major catalyst for transforming the nebulous world of waves, which exists throughout the universe, into how we experience that reality is the human act of observation. Von Neumann went on to basically declare that it was human consciousness that was the trigger which catalyzes waves into the material world in which we exist. So I don't know if that makes sense, but that was the state of the art back in the early part of the 20th century when physicists were trying to decide exactly what our reality was.
Right.
So that's somewhat of an introduction.
Yeah. So again, and I think you even bring it up in the book, I mean, that conundrum, you know, if a tree falls in the woods, does it make a sound if nobody's around? And consciousness, you would think, if there's nobody around, there's no consciousness to collapse the wave, so therefore it shouldn't make a sound. But your theory is that light, it's the light from the tree that may keep the tree a tree.
Exactly. I mean, there's no clear-cut answer, at least even to the current time. And that was what Einstein, for one, hated, because we were all told the story, you know, what happens when a tree falls in the forest? Does it make a sound? And probably most of us thought, this is a ridiculous question. Of course it makes a sound. But the moral of the story was, if someone is not there to observe it, quantum physics literally states that it doesn't make a sound. So I don't expect many of your listeners to accept that. Now, I'm not sure I even accept it. Einstein certainly didn't accept it. At one point, he was being interviewed by a fellow physicist by the name of Ernest Sternglass, and Einstein said, look at that tree in my yard. Now turn your head away. Is it still there? And what he was getting at was quantum physics states that unless someone's looking at the tree, it doesn't exist, at least not in the form that we recognize. Einstein hated that, and he and a couple of colleagues even invented a thought experiment to try to disprove that part of quantum physics, and in the end, they failed. Quantum physics won, because indeed there is some magical property that causes waves to become particles, and I happen to think it's the element of time.
Hmm. Well, one of the most interesting thing in your book, and in some of your other books, is you talk about the nature of light, and that light is omnipresent and it can exist outside of the dimension of time. So, if time stops, you know, for a wave traveling at the speed of light, and light exists everywhere in the universe at once, and if we're essentially light, you know, do we exist everywhere in the universe?
Great question, Bob. So thank you for asking it. I'll,
yeah, sure.
I'll pay you the money for asking that question later. But, I mean, that is the real conundrum. Physicists have always known that through Einstein's special theory, where Einstein states that time stops if you travel at the speed of light. And that has been proven time and time again. So it's a well-accepted notion in quantum physics. It's considered fact at this point. So time does not exist if you can travel at the speed of light. But yet, I'm not a physicist, so I can't include myself as a physicist, but physicists know that when you travel at the speed of light, and if time stops, you theoretically can be everywhere at once, hence the omnipresent part of one of light's major characteristics. So there appears to be this discrepancy. How can light at 1 minute be everywhere at once, which implies an infinite speed? And at another time, we measure light speed, and it turned out to be a finite speed of 186,000 miles per second. You know, there's a conflict there.
Yeah.
The physicists have pretty much always presumed that light could exist as a particle and a wave outside of time, and hence being omnipresent, as well as existing as a wave and a particle within time, and being measured then at 186,000 miles per second. I think the difference is purely related to time. Any light, and for that matter, any wave which exists outside of time, is indeed omnipresent or everywhere. And it's only when these waves collapse through the vehicle of time that we suddenly find that we're measuring them as having finite speeds, such as light's 186,000 miles per second. So I think that is the wave-particle conundrum of quantum mechanics. It's the notion that we are only able to measure waves through particles, because that's how we experience our reality, is through matter particles, and we are within the dimension of time.
Mm.
We cannot experience... Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if... So we're going under the assumption that, which seems logical to me, that space and time are not fixed dimensions, you know, that they can be changed or shaped. And that
right.
might that would probably be the reason that things such as remote viewing can take place, which clearly transcends time and space, right? So, like the just by the nature of light can transition among, you know, the past, present, and future, and that may explain a lot of these so-called paranormal phenomena, don't you think?
Well, exactly, and yeah. you and I have had this conversation before, and especially you, if I recall, you basically have experienced some pretty wild dreams which have shown the reality of dreaming. And the fact that I think for most of us, dreams represent the major, quote, paranormal experience, you know, for the average individual, because most of us are not clairvoyant. Most of us cannot experience mental telepathy, and only a few of us have had near-death experiences. So dreaming is probably the most common paranormal experience for even myself, as what I consider myself as a fairly normal individual, that in the dream states we have the potential of experiencing what it must be like to interact with timeless waves. And so, yes, I think that very well explains scientifically and even medically a lot of paranormal experiences. David Cohen, back in the 1960s, found that our brains truly do emit brain waves into outer space. So it all falls together and makes a lot of sense.
Mm. So if we were going to take our macro world as an extension of the micro world, so we experience our physical lives as particles, so to speak, and not waves. You know, we're constrained by time as we know it here. But in the so-called spirit world, or there are other realms of existence, there's no such constraints, right? I mean, time is something that's unique to our physical laws.
That's how I see it.
Yeah.
We are individuals trapped within the dimension of time. And it's only through peculiar or special circumstances or events, i.e. the near-death experience, dreams, that our brain waves can travel out as waves, timeless waves, interact with other timeless waves, both past, present, and future, because we know that waves... If time does not exist for a wave, then there really is no difference between past, present, and future. They're all one and the same. It's a very difficult concept to grasp, and that's one reason quantum physics is just so remarkable and can explain so much.
Mm. You know, we were talking a little bit before the show about how people are always searching for meaning, especially, you know, when they suffer a loss, you know, of a loved one. And the questions come up, you know, why, you know, if there's an organizing universe or a divine presence, you know, why are we trapped in this four-dimensional world? Why are we confined by these physical laws? Why not give us access to these other realms? I mean, I'm sure you've pondered that before.
Well, I have pondered it. In fact, the one major book that I'm working on now deals specifically with that as a major concept. Whether you want to say that God is testing us, which is one possibility, The other possibility, especially for those who might believe in reincarnation, is that our souls choose to live within this carnal existence for whatever reasons, whether it's a choice that they make voluntarily or a choice which is made for them by our divine creator. Certainly, I am not one to be able to make that determination, but for reasons that many people better than I have not been able to determine, we you know, experience these lives within this special dimension of time. I personally feel, and I'm sure you've read this as well, that our pre-birth souls might well make that decision voluntarily. And so that's a whole different possibility and thought process as to why we would be given that opportunity and why we would choose to do that.
Yeah, and that's certainly something we could talk about for a long time, and maybe we could touch a little bit more on that after the break. We are talking with Dr. Lee Bauman. His latest book is Medusa of Time. And stay with us. We're going to go for a short break. When we come back, we're going to be talking more about science and spirituality. So stay with us. We'll be back in a few.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
Starseed Gems Studios in Cocoa, Florida fuses cremation ashes within art glass, making beautiful stones. The ashes are visible in the darkness and resemble a beautiful night sky. Starseed Gems, developed by the parents of a young man who passed away, are set in hand-sculpted silver and gold settings. Prices start at $150. Visit www.starseedgems.com or call 321-632-7770. That's www.starseedgems.com or 321-632-7770.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide support for families who have suffered the loss of a loved one. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707 or on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
The Camlack Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the Camlack Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death, and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlack.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
If you're just tuning in, our guest tonight is Dr. Lee Bauman. This show is sponsored by Hugs from Heaven, and they can be found on the web at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs spelled H-U-G-Z from heaven.com. If you are a business interested in advertising on our show, please contact us via email at radio@foreverfamilyfoundation.org or call the office at 631-425-7707. Before we get back to our show, we have just a few important foundation updates for our listeners. Our raffle winners have been posted to the events page at the Forever Family Foundation website. And while you're there, you can sign up for the Capital One Visa credit card and support our work. And we want to thank all of our supportive listeners who did a wonderful job making possible this past year of bringing Signs of Life Radio to you. They know that even though we are a 100% volunteer, not-for-profit organization, it still takes a lot of money to do the work we do. And yet we know that not everyone has extra income they can send along to support the continuation of our programming. So this is how easy it is to keep this radio show alive without sending us money. Go to foreverfamilyfoundation.org and apply for the Visa credit card. Visa will make a donation to us for each card that's taken out, and each time the card is used, a portion of the charge is donated back to Forever Family Foundation. Then, if your shopping takes you to the Internet, consider shopping at Amazon.com. But first, use the link on the Forever Family Foundation website, and again, a portion of your spending comes back to support our work. Now, if you don't see what you want on Amazon, then sign up with iGive.com and name Forever Family Foundation as the charity of your choice. Then search iGive.com for your items. For each search, we receive a donation. And when you find what you are looking for, and there are more than 900 online stores like Adidas, DSW, FTD, Sony, a portion of what you spend is again donated back to Forever Family Foundation. So please take a few moments when you shop to show us that you care. Back to you, Bob.
And we are back with Dr. T. Lee Bauman, author of Medusa of Time. You know, one thing I like about your books, and especially this one, is that you are able to put a lot of scientific principles in easy-to-understand format, which I appreciate. And what dawned on me as I'm reading Medusa of Time is I must have seen Einstein's equation of E equals mc squared, you know, a billion times in my life. And I never thought about that equation and death. And you suggested in the book that it does tell us something about the nature of death. And I don't even know if you recall, but if you do, do you remember what you wrote?
I mean, what I would recall is that the E, basically representing energy, represents how we are basically going to experience the afterlife. Because I think all spirits are pure energy. And so when we pass on, we will represent the E in E equals MC squared. Similarly, the M, standing for mass or matter, is how we are experiencing life currently, trapped within the dimension of time. Did I get the right quote?
I think you did. And, you know, and basically, you know, energy is mass you know, past equals the present equals the future, which would then mean that there is no death. so it's very interesting when you take it, you know, out to that level. I mean, you also talk about
yes.
I don't know if we went into it in this particular book, but I know in prior books when we talk about the nature of light, light being omnipresent and omniscient, and implying that if we were light in another dimension, we would be all-knowing, because those are what those terms
yes.
mean. That, though, you know, I don't know if we can think in those terms, because the evidence that I've read from, let's say, channeled material and mediumship would seem to indicate that although we can move about in other realms, we don't necessarily become all-knowing when we transition from the physical, you know, to the spirit realm. You know, I think of it more of having, you know, continued opportunities for learning. Is this an inconsistency in the theory? I mean, do you think that we become all-knowing, you know, after we die?
Personally, I do. I think for clairvoyance, channeling, and, you know, some of those paranormal activities that oftentimes, and channeling is a great word, oftentimes we are channeled within a narrow spectrum of the experience, and so we not become all-knowing at that point. Instances where we actually do become all-knowing, and probably one of the best ones, is when you talk to those that have experienced near death. Moody has countless examples where people, when they've passed over before they've returned to their body, state that when they were on the other side, they had the answers to every question in the universe, but upon coming back to their body, it was gone. And you hear that repeatedly from near-death experiencers. Similarly, I think that offers an opportunity for why many paranormal experiences, you have the opportunity of gaining information from what I call the cosmic consciousness out there, the network of omniscient and omnipresent energy that allows us to glean information, and it isn't always clear-cut. It's not that we have the choice of selecting the information we want. Often it is somehow channeled to us. Edgar Cayce often got his information. Sometimes it was not always correct. So there's a lot of incorrect information out there in the cosmic consciousness as well as correct information.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it is true about near-death experiences. A lot of people do report being imbued with great knowledge and clear, you know, insight. What's also interesting is that they describe being enveloped by this light, which in a sense is the cosmic consciousness or information, you know, and maybe it's the light that's conveying the information. So, but there are many, many accounts such as that, so you know, you very well may be correct. But, you know, going back a little bit to this wave particle kind of a thing, I know from a scientific point of view, if I knock on this table that I'm sitting on, I mean, it seems solid to me, but we know, because scientists and physicists tell us, that it's mostly empty, even though it appears solid. So, and you talk at one point in the book about, like when we go to sleep at night, we fully expect, and when we wake up, everything's going to be just as the way that we left it when we went to sleep. But it's possible then that while we're asleep and we're not observing our surroundings, that the things that we think of as solid only exist in these waves of possibility. So, you know, it's possible that things change while we're not observing them and then reform again, right?
Well, and that's exactly what the past Copenhagen interpretation of quantum physics has always argued, and that is it is observation or a means of measurement that transforms the waves into our particulate reality. Einstein didn't like that, and to me it makes more sense that it's the element of, or the dimension of time. You and I, and probably most people, don't really believe that when we go to sleep that everything transitions into a hodgepodge of nebulous waves, and yet that's what quantum physics tells us, that if something isn't being experienced or being viewed by a human conscious entity, that these objects don't exist in their material and particulate form. They exist rather as a nebulous collection of waves. To me, it makes more sense, since we're living within this dimension of time, that once these waves become entrapped within the material world, within time, that for the most part they're going to stay that way unless there is a specific catalyst to transition matter back into energy. So, so that's my hypothesis.
Yeah. So the physicists have done many, many experiments that show that light particles can communicate, or they become entangled. So
yes,
when we're in spirit form, that might be a plausible explanation of the way of why we're able to communicate. I mean, some might say it's some form of telepathy or entanglement, but you know, we keeps coming back to this light, doesn't it? Both in the spiritual and scientific terms.
It does. In fact, I see entanglement really as an extension of the omnipresence of light, in that really all particles, all waves seem to be connected within the universe, and physicists call this entanglement. They really have a hard time understanding it and explaining it, but we've experienced it. We've observed it.
So when we, I know we touched earlier about, you know, dreams, which are so important to people, and most of the dreams are very disorienting. They're probably disorienting because we have no concept of, we lose all this concept of time when we're dreaming, right?
That's my theory. I think that being the human beings that we are and having experienced and become accustomed to this dimension of time, that whenever we go outside of our bodies, whether it be in dream states or clairvoyant states or whatever, that it can be very disorienting because we so closely identify with time and we measure our experiences through time. Mm-hmm. So it seems to me a natural corollary that once we leave our bodies and go into this energy state, that it is going to be very naturally disorienting to us. And that shouldn't alarm us. That's just what we should come to expect.
Mm. Well, we're nearing the end of the time, but I want to ask you an unscientific question, and that is, do you believe there's a reason for everything?
Oh, I do. I'm a hardcore believer that, yes, there is a reason for everything. We certainly don't often know why, and maybe it's because of the butterfly effect, that something that's happening on the other side of the universe is causing changes where we happen to be. But I believe there is a reason.
Yeah, and I probably made a mistake when I said it's an unscientific question, because it has a lot to do with science. Well, I appreciate...
Some would argue that, yes.
Yeah, we have been talking with Dr. T. Lee Bauman. Lee, you don't maintain a website per se. The best way is for people just to Google your name, Lee Bauman, MD.
Well, actually, probably the best website is if you do Google Lee Bauman or T. Lee Bauman, one of the first hits will be my Google webpage under profiles. It'll just come up under Google. So, yeah, click that, and I maintain that website.
Okay, and Lee Bauman spells his last name B-A-U-M-A-N-N. Thank you for joining us. It's always a pleasure, and I hope you'll come back and see us again real soon.
Well, thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure to be on your show, and the best to both you and Fran and your families.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Have a good evening.
We now ask our listeners to please join us in our Healing Energy Circle prayer. May the universe create a channel of healing energy from our participating listeners, sending that energy to those who are in need of recovery of the physical body, spirit, and mind, as we visualize the healing light upon Francis Mastracco, Tim Donahue, the DeLeone family, Jerry Diana, Tina Diana Jocelyn, Deb Morton, Angelina Diana, Kay Torpe, Paul Smith, Diane Archangel, Barbara Russell, Nancy Scheel, Vicky Steffi, Wendy Lippo, Mark Farron, Eileen LaFada, CJ, Rita Springer, David Haith, Barbara Petillo, Glenna Irwin, Elizabeth McKenna, Chase McKenna, Julie B., Stanley Mullen, and Alex. And now let's give energy of love and gratitude to the waters and all the living creatures by praying like this. To the waters, whales, dolphins, pelicans, fishes, shellfishes, plankton, coral, algae, and all creatures in our Earth's waters, I apologize. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. That was taken from the original Gulf Water Prayer by Masuro Emoto back on May 9th, 2010.
And remember,
now it's time to say,
our loved ones are only a heartbeat away.
And science is going to prove it.
Good night, everyone.